May we turn to Colossians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 21. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed ye were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh to them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they be discouraged. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. May we unite with him in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence with a spirit of adoration and praise as we lift our voices in song. We are thankful to thee for our Redeemer who cleanses us from every guilt and sin. Come upon us this hour, we pray, for we are oppressed by sinful ways. Fix in us a clean heart, O God. We ask that thou would strengthen our lives by thy Holy Spirit, so that there may be light where there is darkness, victory where there is defeat, and humility where there is pride. Everlasting God, give us tender hearts toward all who know less joy than we know. Be with those who need thy care, those who grow weak day by day, those who live in strife and pain, and those whose hearts and homes are empty. Have mercy, dear God, on us all. With the passing of each day, may we know the value of fellowship in thee, and may we kindle the fires of love within our family circles, that we may give of ourselves to others. Teach us the true meaning of the Christian life, so that we may grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. In these moments, we consider the section of the covenant regarding our family. Sir Edward Coke declared that a man's house is his castle. This conception of the home as a place in which a man exercises authority and enjoys privacy and security has been influential in English and American thought. But a castle may be a secular establishment, detached from the mainstream of human endeavor, and surrounded by an unfordable moat. And the homes of which we are thinking this morning, the parental homes in which you and I were nurtured, and the homes through which we are handing on God's gift of life to the next generation, are vitally related to the human community, to the church, and to this seminary. What are the essential characteristics of a Christian home? God's plan for the family is outlined in the Bible, and the standards of Christian family life are set forth with clarity in at least 6 places in the New Testament. One of these descriptions of the standards of family life was read in our hearing this morning. In the first place, a Christian home has a spiritual center. It is a household of faith, where God in Christ is known and trusted, where the Bible is read and parents are not ashamed to pray, and where religious faith undergirds daily living. It is a household rooted and grounded in the love which God imparts to human hearts. It is impossible, I think, to eliminate strain and misunderstanding from family relationships. But in the spiritual atmosphere of a Christian home, each person knows that he is loved by all the others, and that he is free to express the thoughts of his mind and the desires of his heart in the presence of God. In such a climate of friendly and ordered living, there is a strong incentive for persons to be kind to one another, to end quarrels rather than to start them, and to increase the joy of family fellowship. Moreover, in a genuinely Christian home, the husband and the wife love each other sincerely and steadfastly. They live together as heirs of the grace of life. The husband obeys the biblical injunction to care for his wife and not to be harsh with her nor bitter against her. And the wife relates herself appropriately to her husband as is fitting in the Lord. The love which draws husband and wife together in Christian marriage manifests itself in many ways, It enables them to take a constructive attitude toward the emerging problems with which we have to deal. And a constructive attitude toward the inevitable disclosure of each other's imperfections. They seek not to hurt or humiliate one another, but to encourage and to help one another. They discover that two people can live together in a spirit of mutual respect and considerateness, that suspicion and strife can be dissolved into trust and cooperation, and that a dynamic harmony can be achieved in marriage. And in the third place, in a Christian home, there is a creative relationship between the parents and the children. The father and the mother do not irritate the children until they become angry. The father and the mother do not provoke. It may be that the Greek word can be translated chafe. The father and the mother do not chafe the children until they become discouraged and lose heart. Instead, they recognize the unique abilities of each child and provide a friendly fellowship for the growth of each human personality. By example and by coherent Christian conversation, the parents encourage the children to love God with their minds as well as with their hearts, to think objectively, to support noble causes generously, and to bring to their vocations the highest possible measure of intelligence and integrity. In the years ahead, we want our children and the children to whom we minister to remember the calm voices and the smiling faces of fathers and mothers and pastors and teachers who believed in God as the center of the home, who respected each other as persons, and who faced the future with confidence and hope. We want them to remember also that the destiny of the Christian is a home, the Father's house, a reunion of all who are at home with the Lord. In Dr. Ray E. Petrie's book on Christian eschatology and social thought, there is a chapter entitled The Ecclesiastical Community as Servant of Eternal Kingdom in Temporal World, in which he says that in the Middle Ages, the church was consistently represented as a great family on pilgrimage to its eternal home, and adds that the church was undoubtedly at its best when it could appeal to humble Christians to live a wholesome family life on earth as preparation for fellowship in the heavenly family. And in the 20th century, and in an institution of higher learning, it is not unrealistic to think that in the atmosphere and relationships of a Christian family, we have a foretaste of what God has in store for those who love and serve Him.